Learn more about the fascinating journey of Ibn Battuta, the first ever travel writing by Ibn Jubayr, and the courageous Chinese explorers Hing He. We bring you stories from the travels and lives of nine Muslim explorers that brought us modern-day geography, map-making, and cross-border trade. Mondays to Fridays during Ramadan 2016 at 8:15 a.m. Repeats at 6:50 p.m. The Global Village, the vast expanse of an unknown world discovered. Bismillahi r-Rahman r-Rahim.
Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Idrisi, also known as al-Sharif al-Idrisi, was one of the greatest geographers and cartographers in the 12th century. He possessed incredible skill at visualizing and putting into words what the world looked like. This was unmatched by any contemporary mind in Europe, where he resided at the King of King Roger II of Sicily. His book, Nuzhat al-Mushtaq, would live on, inspiring countless future explorers from Ibn Battuta to Marco Polo. And yet, his life was not chronicled in depth by any Muslim historians, for reasons that can be debated, for which this is not the platform. One author, Muhammad Abdul Ghani Hassan, broke the trend and, in 1971, published a book about the life and times of al-Idrisi. In his book, al-Sharif al-Idrisi, the most famous of Muslim and Arab explorers. Much of what we will share with you in this segment is based on that book. Al-Idrisi was born in Ceuta in Spanish-occupied Morocco 493 years after Hijri. While not much is known about his early childhood, nor about whom he studied under, this much is known. Much of his early life was spent traveling through North Africa and Andalusia, and this allowed for him to acquire detailed information on both regions. There's also some evidence that he visited Anatolia when he was barely 16. He is known to have studied in Cordoba, one of the greatest centers of cultural and Islamic learning at the time. The roster of places he visited is as impressive as his body of literature. Egypt was one of his stops in the Islamic Orient, and in the West it included Portugal, the Pyrenees, the French Atlantic coast, Hungary, and York in England. In 1138, he received an invitation to the court of King Roger II of Sicily by none other than the king himself. There he would be treated to a hospitality rarely seen at a royal court, where the king venerated him to extents never before heard of. It is said that he allowed him to ride his mule all the way into the palace in Palermo, and when he arrived, he would seat him to his side in the throne room or council. It's worth mentioning that the Norman kings of Sicily were an anomaly within European Christian kingdoms, in that they followed in the footsteps of Muslim rulers to the extent that at one point King Roger II himself was said to have converted to Islam. Al-Idrisi was commissioned by Roger II, who was no stranger to philosophy, mathematics, and forays into unusual inventions, to construct a map of the known world using 400,000 drachmas worth of silver, the equivalent of 1,720 kilograms of silver. He then created multiple spheres, mounting and fusing one on the other, then sculpting and engraving it into a three-dimensional map of the world. The map only used a third of the amount of silver, ultimately weighing in around 450 pounds, and the rest was given to al-Idrisi as a gift. Over a period of 15 years, al-Idrisi would incorporate knowledge of Africa, the Indian Ocean, and the Far East gathered by Islamic merchants and explorers, along with Islamic records and maps, and interviews of Norman sailors and voyages conducted both by him and by the king. They dispatched draftsmen and travelers to the corners of the known world to gather first-hand information and relate in detail to be copied into the great tome in geography. In 1154, just few weeks before the king died, al-Idrisi's book was finally complete. Only 10 manuscript copies currently survive. The most complete manuscript, which includes the world map and all 70 sectional maps, is kept in Istanbul. His legacy in the world of geography and exploration remain to this day. One could even say that explorers like Christopher Columbus and Vasco da Gama wouldn't have accomplished much of their discoveries had they not had a solid foundation in the works of Al-Idrisi. Sicily. Muslim interest in Sicily goes back to the very threshold of Islamic history. The first military expedition against the island took place during the Caliphate of Uthman, only 20 years after the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Muawiyah, the governor of Syria, sent a naval expedition. This was an extension of the battles that were taking place in the east, where the most formidable enemy the Muslims faced was the Byzantine Empire. Sicily was a Byzantine province, and from its strategic location in the Mediterranean, the Byzantines were able to control shipping and launch naval attacks against the coastal cities of the Muslim Levant and North Africa. Through the years, many efforts were made by the Muslims to invade Sicily, but it was not until June of 827 that they finally obtained a foothold by taking Mazara on the western end of the island. The Tunisian Qadi and scholar Asad ibn al-Furat was appointed commander and presented one of the most remarkable exhortations ever given by a military commander.
There is no God but God alone, who has no peer. I swear, O soldiers, that I have not been appointed to this command by my father or my grandfather, nor do I know of anyone to whom such a thing has happened. For I have been given this appointment because of my achievements with the pen, not the sword. I urge you all to spare no effort, no fatigue, in searching out wisdom and learning. Seek it out and store it up, add to it and preserve through all difficulties, and you will be assured of a place both in this life and in the life to come.
The conquest of Sicily after Mazara fell took 75 years. The history of Sicily under Muslim rule reflected the political changes that were taking place in North Africa and further east. The Aghlabids were succeeded by the Fatimids, who in turn gave way to the Kalbids. But the unique achievements of the period were not political and are hardly mentioned in the works of historians. Under the Muslims, Sicily once more became a granary to the world, as it had been under the Romans. While both the Byzantines and the Romans before them had been interested almost solely in cultivation of grain, however, the Arabs introduced many new crops: cotton, hemp, date palms, sugarcane, mulberries, and citrus fruits. The cultivation of these crops was made possible by new irrigation techniques brought in by the conquerors. These innovations, especially the breaking up of the large estates and the redistribution of land, meant an end to the long years of economic and social depression. Sicily began to bloom. As they had wherever they went, the Muslims also extended and beautified such cities as Messina, Syracuse, Mazara, and Palermo. But the Muslim past of Sicily, which must now be painfully recovered from the few material remains which survive, is nowhere evident than in the intellectual and scientific legacy which was passed from the Muslims of Sicily to Italy and then to all of Europe. The great Sicilian Arab poet Ibn Hamdis, who in his life knew the pain of exile from his beloved island, wrote more than seven centuries ago,
"I spoke the word Sicily, and longing troubled my heart. A man exiled from a paradise can do nothing but tell of the things he has lost."
Join us in part 7 as we learn of the pioneer in travel writing, inshallah.
The Global Village has been researched and compiled by Hafidha Rayhana Umar, narrated by Ijaz Khan and Tufail Patel, overseen by Mufti Yusuf Musaji, a production of Radio Islam.